Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Guys, before we start the episode, I've said it before and I will say it again. The one thing that you can really, really do to help this podcast is click that follow or subscribe button. I cannot tell you what it does for us. It does wonders for this show in so many ways, and it's hopefully just a second of your time. So if you could possibly do that, that would be simply amazing. Thank you so much. Okay, let's get on with the show. I'm going to be honest. All right, I've got to be straight up honest on this episode.
I've got to be honest with you.
I'm absolutely fucked.
What?
Because
you ran around London like a banshee. Is that the word?
No, I think you're thinking of a banshee.
What's a banshee?
It's a banshee is like an animal.
Yeah, you ran around London like an absolute banshee. I've never seen someone glug, glug, glug more pints in my life.
Lads, lads, lads. No, can I tell you why I'm so...
I feel great. Okay. I feel honestly great.
Well, let me go first, because you always talk over me. Wah, wah, wah. Let me explain my story. So sit back.
I'm sitting back.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy.
No.
Yes, there was. A little boy called Jamie, who ran all day long. And boy, did he run. This is a fable, by the way. It's not a story. And he ran.
He ran and he ran.
He ran.
Yeah.
And then one day, this little boy, he met a girl. His name was Sophie. Mm. And boy, did she make him run even more. Run, little boy, she used to say to him every day. Run, little boy. Keep on running. And this little boy just kept on running because he wanted to please. All he wanted to do was please. Yeah. No, all he wanted to do was please. So he ran, and he was huffing and puffing. And each day he came to this little girl that he loved called Sophie and said, Sophie, please stop making me run. And she looked at him like the Wicked Witch and said, no, you little bastard. You fucking keep running.
She swore.
Yeah. You keep.
The little girl swore.
Yeah, and she said, you keep fucking running, you little shit. And do you know what the little boy said?
What?
He said, well, please, Sophie. I don't want to run anymore. I'm so tired.
God,
I'm so tired.
I'm sick and tired.
And she said, if you don't fucking run, I'm going to go and kiss someone else. And so the little boy just kept on running.
That was quite deep, I remember.
The little boy kept on running. Kept on running. And you know what happened? And then the little boy, and then Sophie one day, she came down from her castle that the little boy had made with lots of flowers and all these things. And she came to him, and the little boy was dead because he was so tired. That's a fable for
that
me.
That was the worst story I've ever heard. Right. Not. Any more complaining from Jamie?
Yeah. I haven't. Oh, do you know what?
Watch them all. Click. What's that I hear? People clicking off the podcast.
Do you know what? I am absolutely knackered. And well, the reason why I'm so tired is we're currently on tour.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Because you keep being rude to me, so I thought I'd just cut you off before you regret it anymore. I know I've already given you a present.
Touché.
I know I've already given you a present, but here you go.
Wow. Well, you all feel stupid in the room now, don't you? Everyone feels stupid, not me.
Why does everyone feel stupid?
Because they shouldn't have made me to say that fable at the top. That is so sweet. You've got me an anniversary present.
Yeah, and what else did I get you?
Well, a card.
What else did I get you?
Another picture.
What was it?
It was the most beautiful picture in the entire world.
I got an illustrator to do a painting of this, like, when we got engaged. Jamie, me, rosewood, flowers, the ring, even the shoes you were wearing. And what did you get me? What did you get me? What happened? I woke up to no one next to me. No one in bed next to me. Sorry, what's going on? So I go downstairs, and this fucker's downstairs with the masters on, asleep on the sofa.
What was I doing?
with your hand down your boxer. I was like, I hope it was just there to stay warm and cozy, because
I wasn't wanking over the golf. Like, you're joking.
I was like, hello. So I shook him and I shook him and he still didn't wake up.
I was so drunk on Thursday. I got very drunk.
Thursday? It was Saturday. Oh, are you okay?
I got so drunk on Saturday evening. I was so drunk. Saturday day that I passed out in the evening on the sofa. And Sophie, honestly, you thought I was dead, didn't you? You couldn't wake me up.
He came home at 10 p.m. and was like, you showered. You were so irritating, to be honest. And then you said you wanted to watch golf. And I remember waking up at 2. I went downstairs and you wouldn't wake up. So I was like, fuck's sake, this is so annoying. So I went back to bed asleep. And then I woke up in the morning to no one next to me. And what did you then do? You came into bed and you were like, I feel so hungover. I hate drinking. And you yapped. And you yapped and you yapped and you yapped. You said, I've got a nap all day. And I said, it's our anniversary. Oh my God. Hey, fever, got me good.
Oh my God.
And then you I said, it's our anniversary.
I know. Okay.
And you didn't even get me a card. And then what did I ask you to do?
But can I just say this for all you lovely listeners who know this? It's our wedding anniversary in London. And
so our official.
No, and you said to me that you were going to celebrate the London one and I'm celebrating the Spanish one.
Not true.
Yes, you did. I promise you, on my heart, I did.
I'll tell you what happened. You said, no, the Spanish one was my wedding, because we all know Jamie made it all about him and I didn't really want that big old wedding. And I said, well, I'm celebrating the London one because that's when we officially became husband and wife. So that's what we should be celebrating. You and I'm going to celebrate the Spanish one.
So, yeah, so from the Spanish one, you're going to get a present. Right, I'm opening up my card, guys, that Sophie's. It says, happy anniversary.
What?
Did you get this card?
Yeah.
Where did you get it from?
Glintstones.
Sorry, it says Gibson's.
Gibson's, I got it from that shop.
What is Gibson? What shop is Gibson's?
It's just on the high street. Shop.
So you bought this from Gibson's?
Yeah, £2 if you look at the back. Don't worry about it.
What's it next to? And what high street?
It's next to Boots.
On what high street?
Victoria Station. That's where I got it. On my way here. Don't worry about it.
You were on your way here?
Why are you questioning just me quick, about my present? Where's my car?
Honey, I just want to say something. On your way here, you were on the motorbike with me.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know how you stopped off in Gibson's in Victoria Station.
Producer Ewan maybe got it. But look, it's a thought that counts. I got you the painting.
So just
have
so
your
I
box of chocolate so and gobble those up.
Oh, they're chocolates. They're not even wrapped.
Where's my present?
Hang on a second.
Where's my card?
Hang on a second, little lady over there. So you didn't even organise this present.
I organised the one at home. That's all that matters.
It says this, isn't it? Jamie Lamb. Have a wonderful day. Love you so much, Sophie.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. It's absolutely adorable. Thank you so much for buying that from Gibson's and spending all that time getting those lovely chocolates.
I spent so much time getting a painting handcrafted for you, getting it framed, getting the images over, setting the scene for the artist.
I know.
So that she could paint it.
I know you do.
And where is it? Sat where you opened it.
No.
You haven't even hung it up.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful and you're wonderful.
And
I love you so much. Look, happy anniversary, honey. Should we begin the episode?
Let's begin.
Hello, I'm Jamie Lang.
And I'm Sophie Lang.
And we met 5 years ago.
And we're...
married!
Married!
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
That's right. Can't get rid of me.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Newlyweds Podcast. I'm Sophie Habu, and this is my husband,
Jamie. Ladies, guys, we have had an absolute firecracker of a few weeks. We're on tour, and I tell you what, it's been exhausting. It's in a great way.
Has it? I feel the best I've ever felt on tour, because normally,
okay, give it
you
to
guys
me.
Know,
give me the secret.
I'm a morning gal. I wake up, I gobble that cornflakes and I go on my run and then I do my errands and I meditate and I do everything and I get up at 6 a.m. No. On tour, I thought, got to reserve that energy. So I got up at 8 a.m. New woman. And guess why? Women need 10 hours sleep. Still not quite getting it. But those sleazy 7 hours that I used to get were not cutting the mustard. I felt every day I thought I was dying. Every day I thought I was dying. I would sit, I would have 2 hours of energy and then I was like this. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was like, thought I was anemic. I thought everything was, I thought I was dying, but I wasn't.
It was just sleep.
Sleep deprived.
No, you're not.
Sleep deprived.
You're not sleep.
Sleep deprivation is the biggest killer. Yeah, it is.
I think malaria is. Like, are you joking?
You wouldn't know because you just sleep for your half your life, you lazy old sod.
I never sleep. Are you joking?
You snore, you sleep.
I never sleep.
You sleep on a sofa in the middle of the day.
I never, ever sleep. Give me something. We've got to tell everyone, all listeners who have, firstly have come to the tour, thank you so much for buying your tickets, for seeing us.
I can't. People flew from Norway. People flew from like the Arles, near Isle of Malta. He got a ferry. He flew.
So many people did. It was amazing. Do you know what else? What I've realised also about this podcast and to everyone listening now is that what we say on the podcast actually makes it into the sort of Daily Mail and the press.
Yeah, it was wonderful waking up on our 1 year anniversary to read Sophie and Jamie having marriage counselling after admitting they have stale sex.
Okay, this is the title of the episode, which was Jamie Lane makes a shocking confession about her sex life with wife Sophie Habu and reveals they're having marriage counselling a year after tying the knot. It's got 350 comments.
Right, okay. I need to talk to you about this because my mum called me about it.
She called you about it?
Yes, because people had sent it to her. They were all like, oh, God,
oh,
Sophie and Jamie.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
What?
Okay, so Jamie seems to think that couples therapy is different to marriage counselling. Hun, it's the same thing.
It's different.
So I said, you said it on the podcast, which, by the way, we didn't go to a special couples therapist. We both have therapy separately. And she was like, do you want to do a session together? That's what it was. It's not that we rang up a couples therapist and said, no shame on that. I think it's great. And we probably would do that. But we both have therapy with a therapist. And she was like, do you want to do it together? Anyway, you yap me up about couples therapy all day long. And then you get shocked that an article comes out that we got marriage counselling. And you constantly talk about how our sex is boring. So what do you think is going to come out? And then he calls our PR and he's like, you need to get it taken down. It's false. I said, it's not. You've said it all over the podcast.
What I want to do is I want to read some of the comments in it because they are absolutely fascinating.
If anyone else calls me Pete Burns, I'll get upset.
Okay, hang on. So this is one of the top comments. And what someone's commented and then people have replied underneath. Here we go. This is from Ron. Ron has written this. He was at risk of becoming the oldest swinger in the town, parting among and ever up and coming increasing number of young things. His time and generation were moving on and passing him by. Wagatha replied, looks like he'll be back out there again as soon as he's divorced. Steve says, better to be a single man than shackle yourself to someone who doesn't care. Oh my God. And then someone...
They're too brutal. You know I cry about them.
Then this person called Lady underneath wrote, Dwayne Lineker is always and will be the oldest in town, but he may take his crown. Dwayne.
Wayne Lineker, get it right, sisters. Right, okay, so they think you're divorcing and you're going to be out there swinging with 19-year-olds.
My God, how funny is that?
Not funny. I don't like reading them. Jamie decides to read them all to me and then I get in bed and cry because I'm like, everyone's saying I've got a weird face and look like Pete Burns. And I don't like it. It's so mean. You people are mean. You're mean, mean. TikTok, mean. TikTok, mean platform. Don't like any of you. So user 65802, fuck off. I'm sick to death of it.
What do people keep writing underneath your comments now?
That I've got... What the fuck has Sophie done to her face? Look at that filler in her cheeks. They're my natural cheeks. I can't do anything about them.
She gets that. She gets abused. Or the other one is...
How to get fat taken out of my cheeks the other day. I was like, everyone, I know, but it's so mean. Nah, I'm all right. I don't care. Pete Burns is a good-looking guy.
Wait, the funniest thing, though, is Sophie now, on all of her social media comments, keeps getting people saying, oh, how good are your blowjobs? Like,
Everyone's like, yeah, but does she know how to give him a good blowjob? Obviously, nah. I'm like, oh, my God. Everyone thinks I'm shit in bed because of you. It's awful. I need to put a muzzle on you.
Honey, you know we were talking about signs and how I saw a rainbow. Well, I saw it on your Instagram. That was the sign that everything is going in the right direction. You had a sign about seeing an orange in a strange place. Have you seen that orange?
Nope.
It's only been a couple of weeks or a week or whatever it is. Okay, no, I know. No, you nope. haven't seen it anywhere. No, okay, just
no
keep...
signs from the universe. What does that mean?
Have you been looking for it anywhere?
High and low.
You know, it's wedding season is on the horizon. This is, I feel like, this is when weddings start to happen.
We've got so many weddings this year.
So many weddings.
So every month we're away.
So many people have weddings that are coming up, probably they're going to, they're listening to this, they're either getting married or they're going to their brother's or sister's or friend's wedding, or they're probably a bridesmaid or a best man or whatever it is. So on today's episode, we thought we'd get back Sarah Hayward, one of the greatest wedding planners out there, to talk about tips, tricks, what to expect, what not to expect, what to wear, not what to wear, what to do, what not to do. Loads of questions are going to come up. So we're going to have that straight after listeners' message. Are you ready for that, Soph?
Let's go.
Where should we go?
Listeners' messages.
It is, people. It's listeners' messages. As always, I think you should say it today.
Say what?
Well, what would you like to say?
I think people are sick and tired of this, but we do think it and we do feel it. We really love your listeners' messages. They mean the world to us, and this podcast wouldn't be it without them. So please continue to write into newlyweds@co.uk.
It's just not that. It's really just not that.
Go on,
just...
and write into
Pete Burns at... I'm joking. That was a real... That hit you deep. That hit you deep, and I'm sorry.
Write back. Write into thehobbit@co.uk.
Okay, you ready for this listener's
yes.
message? This is from Anonymous. Hi, Jamie and Sophie. I am not one to write into anything, but I just had to today. I listen to your podcast every Monday on my drive to work. I'm having a tough time mentally at the moment, and my boyfriend has been telling me before we leave for work to put on a podcast when I'm driving to cheer me up and to stop my intrusive thoughts taking over. Yours is always my first point of call. So firstly, I would like to say thank you for helping me more than you would know. You make me forget my daily worries in the time I listen to you, and my drive to work is so much more bearable. Secondly, I was really writing in to say I just had a few odd things happen to me recently. The first was an awful dream of my grandfather dying, and 2 days later, he sadly passed away. The second was an overwhelming feeling of a family friend who I hardly knew at the time, of her passing, who I then saw in a post on Facebook later that day about the particular day being the anniversary of her death.
What?
And the third, I listened to your podcast this morning on my way to work, and you were discussing the universe and the signs it can give you. Sophie sarcastically told the universe to give her a sign if you were meant to be together. She asked for an orange in a strange place. A few seconds later, after I listened to that part of the podcast, I drove over an orange, sitting still and whole in the middle of the road.
What the? So she's meant to be with you or me?
How have you ruined that moment? How on earth, out of everything you could have said, you ruined
that
moment?
What? I need to speak to this lady because she's clearly a psychic and I really want her to read me.
No, the point is, Soph, with these signs, is the sign comes to you in whatever way or form. It doesn't matter. Someone could say it to you. Someone could... She has written in that she drove over an orange. That is a sign for you.
That's my sign. That's unbelievable.
I absolutely believe this is either a sign for Sophie or for me. My boyfriend has been my absolute rock recently. I couldn't have gone through recent times without him. I think the universe wanted to tell me he was meant for me, just as the two of you are meant to be. Thank you both so much. You help many more people than you would ever know. And Sophie, keep looking for those oranges.
Oh my God, I've got goosebumps. I really love this person. I really feel like she's definitely like connected to the universe, like in weird ways, like in good weird ways.
But that is a sign for you as well, honey.
I'm taking it. I already knew you were my person. Don't worry.
I know.
But that lady right there,
yeah.
She could be a psychic.
She could be.
I'm
going. Man, smelt your breath from here when you did that. Really, like a fan of shit in my face.
Oh my God, I'm going to be a gas mask. He stinks.
Can you just not, honestly, don't do this.
No,
honestly,
Jamie, the thing is,
it's like you're putting manure on a field.
Me and my friend, me and Melissa, we literally are we have an aversion to bad breaths. Like, we can't go near them. I ask her every day, are you sure? And she's like, you have a lovely smelling breath, nothing. You, on the other hand, know that's not the case about you. So I would not, that's karma. The reason your breath stinks is because it's karma.
Shitty, shitty breath bang, whatever. Shitty, shitty breath. Shitty, shitty breath. Hi, ho, shitty, shitty breath. Shitty,
breath, breath, their breath, bang.
Hi, ho, shitty, shitty breath. Shitty, shitty breath. Shitty, shitty breath, and I love you. Hi, ho, smelly, smelly breath. Stop doing that, honestly.
Hi, ho, shitty, shitty breath. Shitty, shitty breath. Shitty, shitty breath, 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 breath.
About to pass out.
About what? You're so fucking weird. I've got a lovely... No, seriously, stop.
Okay.
Because you know you've got actual halitosis. So it's really mean, like, to talk about it. You should be supporting the people who have halitosis because you know you're one of them. You're one of them. You should be leading the way and standing tall. But instead, you're, like, shaming them. I, by the way, do not have a bad breath. Do not. It's a complete and utter diversion. Anyway, from Anonymous. You need to stop talking now. Close that little mouth of yours. I have an unconventional proposal story. My husband and I have been together for 5.5 years and now got married in July of 2023. Congratulations. We've been out for drinks with friends and all having a lovely time. Fast forward to the end of the night when we got home, we were both very drunk and I decided we should spice up things that night in the bed. He went to get something while I undressed, and so I started tying myself up to the bed he came back home.
Love this.
I was all ready to surprise him, feeling naughty, but he was taking quite a while. He finally came back in and he had a little box in his hand that he put in front of me and then nervously started walking away. I had to quickly untie myself from the bed and I opened it and saw the ring and the first thing I asked him was, wait, are you serious?
Wow.
He was thinking, fuck, yeah, I'm serious. You tie yourself up to
that bed. That's so cute. Take note.
Oh, he said yes, and I obviously said yes, and now we are happily married. Despite the disappointment I initially had when he proposed me, I'm very happy that I have this unique story to tell my closest friends that I am able to have him in my life. He came just at the right time when I was at my lowest and I needed someone to believe in me. I don't know what I'd do without him as he makes it that much better.
I love that. Proposal stories are the freaking best, baby. You just wave that little thing in the air.
I'm waving it because proposal stories are just so good.
I love that. I mean, today we're doing a lot of love stories because it's our anniversary and we are celebrating our love for
each other. We're celebrating, aren't we?
We're salivating our love for each other.
We're celebrating our love for each other.
It's a good northern accent.
I know.
We are celebrating our love for each other.
Do a Wigan accent.
Wigan? How niche is that?
Yeah.
Go on, then do it.
Sit with your chest. No, it's not. Sit with your chest.
What are you trying to say?
It's so close. It's on the tip of my tongue. I just can't get it out.
All right, here we go. We have a love story from Gabby. Hey, Sophie and Jamie. I have a bit of a love story for you. And it happens to be my own, which I feel incredibly lucky for. I've been with my boyfriend for nearly 6 years now, but we had previously met when we were 11, many years ago. We managed to find our way back to each other all these years later, and I couldn't be happier. I found my person, and he's shown what true love really looks like. A year into our relationship, lockdown hit, and we were forced with the decision to lock down together or not. Being a new relationship, it could have been a strain, but for us, it cemented our bond. It was also during this time that my amazingly brave dad got diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and the years that followed turned out to be the hardest years of my life, juggling work and being a carer full time. Luckily, my dad met my boyfriend while he was still able to talk and communicate with us, but unfortunately, this was short-lived as dad very quickly lost his speech, ability to walk, and became bedbound in the last year of his life. I've been teasing my boyfriend about getting married, but I just knew it wasn't the right time as my focus was making my dad feel comfy and safe in the last year of his life. I knew Dad loved my boyfriend as his only communication with us at the end was a thumbs up. And he would always do that to my boyfriend when he came to see him. Very sadly, but extremely peacefully, my dad passed away on the 5th of November, 2023, with me.
I can't cope with the parent ones.
I know.
I cannot deal with them.
This is maybe too much right now. My mum, my sister, and our family dog holding his hands and telling him how much we loved him. Gone. Bloody gone.
It's too much.
It's gone. We're both gone. My God. I didn't expect to be 30 years old and lose a parent, but life works it in a way we can't explain. It was my dad's funeral on the 21st of November and my 31st birthday on the 23rd. I was extremely emotional, but to come downstairs on the morning of my birthday to see a storybook my boyfriend had made of our life together tipped me over the edge. I can't get it out. Can't get it out. Won't be able to do it.
What should I do?
On the last page of the book was a picture of him on one knee. And when I looked up, there he was in front of me, asking me to marry him.
No, I can't. I hate the cameras. They always video me crying.
It's actually too much.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
It felt surreal and emotional in a way I can't explain. But even more so, given the fact that he explained to me that 2 weeks before my dad died, my boyfriend had a moment with my dad alone, told him his plan. And my dad gave him the strongest thumbs up he'd ever given.
Oh my God. What's going on? Why are none of you guys in the room? Oh, you are crying. Thank God. I honestly was like, are we something?
It made the moment even more special. Oh my God. That is unbelievable.
It's too much. It's too much for me.
Hey, right. Gabby. Thank you,
Gabby,
for your message. That is so beautiful and so amazing.
Wow. Your dad. Oh my God. I can't go. It's a really sad, but a really lovely, lovely, beautiful story.
How can stories do that to someone? It's so, it's not even, you're just reading it. It's someone else's life. You just feel it. It's insane.
It's insane.
Guys, I want to say thank you so much for all of your messages. Your loved ones, your amazing ones. They're just incredible. You can send them to @newlywedspodcast, which is our Instagram, or send us an email, newlyweds@jampopproductions.co.uk. Everything is in the show description. Thank you so much. That's the end of
Listener's Messages.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Okay, honey, to wipe away those tears, baby.
Wipe away those little teardrops. Whew.
Oh, there it is again.
It's just not funny now.
Spreading manure.
Guys, actually, if you meet Jamie, I know you're all going to be so disappointed because you literally will be knocked out and you'll be ill because your nose buds will...
You'll be ill.
You'll be ill from the smell of his breath. Like, seriously, if you want to go down that path, I'll bottle up the smell of your breath and I'll sell it on eBay and everyone will get to smell that stinky, stinky, stinky ass breath.
Okay, listen, everybody. because it's been our anniversary and it's wedding season on the horizon, that loads of people are probably preparing for their own weddings. Maybe they're preparing for their friends or their sisters or their mothers or fathers or cousins, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This podcast started as a wedding podcast about you and I.
It's and gonna we want to a wedding podcast.
We want to continue that theme. And so we had on about a year ago Sarah Haywood, who is one of the leading wedding planners in the entire world. She does weddings at about a price range of about 2.5 million. That's where she starts. She's one of
That's the average sort of price range.
That's the average that she sort of works with. So she has seen and been a part of some incredible weddings. Unfortunately, our budget for our wedding was not that high. Wish it was. But someone over there, Stingy McStingyson.
Stingy boots over there wouldn't allow me to spend that.
Couldn't afford that. But Sarah's back on to give us some tips and tricks about wedding season and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. And I cannot wait to invite her on. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast.
It's Sarah Hayward.
Sarah, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for having me back.
I know. So when the last time you came on was probably what, just over a year ago?
Yep.
And I think at that time we were in...
We were in the trenches.
We were.
You were in the trenches, in a transition, didn't know what you were doing, but you were very excited.
Firstly, we love having you on the podcast. It was just so amazing. And the fact that you've come back on and given us your time, because you must be in the thick of really planning and organising weddings at the moment.
Well, for us, it's sort of 12 months of the year, because if you're not actually producing them, you're planning them. So everybody's at different stages. So our year is just the same every year. And sometimes we're in performance mode, if that's the right way to put it, and sometimes we're not. And this year, everybody wants to get married at the same time. So everybody wants to get married at the end of summer for us. So we've got false deadlines with a number of clients because we can't produce weddings and be working on the last month with everyone at the same time.
Why does everyone want to get married at the end of the summer this
time? I don't know.
September
we've had people postpone and, August, September, October. And we've had people postpone and venues not work out. I don't know. And all my colleagues are telling me the same, that this year there's no pattern to it.
Really?
It's funny because you know what I think? Well, it depends if they're probably getting married. Well, UK, the summers are getting earlier because I was thinking if I were to get married in the UK, I would not do it late because I feel like our summers are happening earlier and then we're screwed. The winters are happening earlier.
And there's this idea, especially in the UK, that we have a wedding season and you need to get married in the summer. But in the UK, you can never guarantee the weather. So I would always say, put that to the back of your mind. The idea that you're going to have an outdoor ceremony, you know, you it's might be lucky. Mm. But me, I love a Christmas wedding.
So do I.
Yeah, I do.
They're the great. I went to one of my favourite weddings I ever went to, apart from my own wedding. my own wedding, which
Careful.
I absolutely loved. It's the great, do you know, this is the greatest game. And I encourage anyone who's having a winter wedding to do this, is you have your different tables. And at this wedding, there were 12 different tables. And we played a game, which one table was a partridge in a pear tree. Another table was five gold rings. And everyone would sing the song. And when it came to that moment, saying five gold rings, the table would stand up and sing it at this wedding. And it was the greatest.
Wasn't that the wedding that you turned up and your name wasn't on the door and they forgot to give you a seat? And so he managed to get himself in and then got so drunk and didn't you stand on the table and go five gold rings?
The whole
thing. Basically you weren't even invited.
Maybe he was the partridge.
I was the lonely little partridge by myself. So you need to tell me this because I chatted to someone the other day who you may know, but I'm not going to name names. They were talking about weddings. They put on a wedding for 50 million euros.
That's a lot, isn't it?
That's sick.
That is, I just need to understand from, because you are one of the world-renowned, amazing wedding planners. You understand how budgets work. That, to me, feels like a lot.
And I bet they wanted something that cost 100 million and they had to slap it to 50.
No matter
how much money people have, they never want to spend what their wedding costs. So I always say my job, when people, so I facetiously say my job is saving money for billionaires. Because half my time is talking about money and why things cost what they cost. And, you know, if you want to do this, if you want to take 40 hot air balloons up in the air, in the middle of Tuscany, where we could probably get 3, 40's a bit much, it's going to cost this. You know, if you want elephants, we can't get them here. You know, we really are going to have to do it in India. And I think every wedding,
God, I would
you
love
have people
it.
Saying, oh, why does it cost this for a wedding bouquet? People will say, oh, I can go to Tesco and I can buy a really good bunch of flowers for £25. Mm-hmm. You're like, yes, but have you tried taking the thing apart, then putting it back together and making a really beautiful bouquet that feels full? It's not the same.
This may be too personal a question for you, so feel free not to answer. But has anyone come with you with a big budget wedding?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm trying to lean
towards... You're trying to get the number.
I'm trying to get the number, and I was trying to do it in a soft way.
There is some information out there that keeps being repeated, and it pisses me off, that weddings with us cost 65 million euros, which is utterly ridiculous. And actually, our friends at Hitched very kindly picked up my response to being constantly quoted, because somebody somewhere years ago said this on an interview, and they just made it up because I wouldn't tell them. So now there is this perception. People have spent that kind of money. Not very often, I've got to say. Not very often at all. I would say our average budgets are more like... from 2.5 million.
Oh my God, you are lying.
And a lot more.
Our wedding seems like just a bit of shit.
No, I'm really sorry. You have the funnest job in the world. You just play around with these billionaires' money.
No, they spend a lot of time
play around,
not understanding, you know, being outraged at these sort of... So people will say to us, you know, get me, I don't know, who, some rap artist, and say, well, that's $2 million.
Wow.
And they'll be like, oh, but it's our wedding. Yes, we know that, but they don't care. That's what he charges, and they don't care.
Can I ask another question? Because I have so many in my head. What are the, whatever budget you have when it comes to a wedding, what are the things, what do you think the top do's are and the top don'ts are?
I think it's important that everybody is fed and watered well.
Yeah.
And that it's well photographed and videoed.
Mm.
But that's me, because I'd want that memory of the day. To ask you, like, do you have post-wedding blues? Do you still just think about it and wish you could do it again?
Yes, I do massively.
I wish I could do it again and not be so stressed. I found it really stressful.
You found it stressful?
I really loved it, but I just found it quite stressful. I have a regret, though. I wish I'd taken the photographs. I wish I'd really... taken more time to have proper photos with our family. Like, I have one photo with my mum.
You want a memory of the day.
You want a memory of the day, and you're so right. And just everyone making sure they have a drink and they have that sort of whatever it is, water or
that people feel looked after. People have come to look at you, but also to support you. And I think so. The one thing social media has done, it's made every wedding day look perfect and stress free. And with these iconic moments, there's a danger that you can go too far and end up with a photo shoot, which isn't a good idea. So it's trying to strike a balance. And the important thing is to remember why everybody's come. They've come to support you. They've come presumably because they're important people in your lives. And actually, this is a tip for guest lists. If you don't think that someone who's in your life is always going to be in your life, that's probably a good reason to put them on the B or the C list. Yeah.
That's a great one.
And so I think curation of a guest list is really important. And the earlier you can do that, the better, because then you'll choose the right venue.
Yeah.
Because if you've got 200 people and the venue you love only accommodates 100 or vice versa, that could influence how many guests you invite.
Wow, so you would say go for the guest list before the venue.
We do that. The first thing we say, we have to know approximately how many people you will invite and spend some time on that while we're looking at, you know, where we might propose to you.
That is great advice.
That's great. We did not do that.
No, we didn't do that. Okay, I've got more questions. Okay, here we go. So if someone's listening to this now and they don't have a planner, right? And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get tips from you, one of the greatest, right? So how would you structure the day?
Well, there's a few things I'd start with. Don't start too early in the day, because then you have to get up at the crack of dawn to get ready.
Great one.
So
annoying.
I'm always after lunch.
Yeah.
After lunch.
Yes.
I always try to plan eating around times that people are normally eating. Otherwise, if you end up having a 4 o'clock in the afternoon meal, by 9 o'clock, people will want feeding again. So I would think, what are you trying to do with the reception? Are you looking to have cocktails, dinner, party? Mm-hmm. If you are, work backwards. What time has it got to finish? You might have venue restrictions that mean you have to finish. So say you have to finish at 2 a.m. You really want a 4-hour really good party.
Mm-hmm.
So you want your dinner to end by 10.
Yes.
In which case you could sit down 7:30, 8, mm-hmm. but you could spread the dinner out a little bit by perhaps having the cake cutting in the middle, going for a first dance in the middle, if the marquee will cope with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something to think about. Do you want dancing during dinner? Do you want it to go on longer?
And is the room, is there enough space in the room, or are you going to move people somewhere else for the after party? If you're going to move them, you probably don't want the dinner to go on so long that you're just sitting around waiting for something to happen. And I like to use things like the first dance, the cutting of the cake as punctuation points. So taking you from one point of the event. So say you are moving people, a good reason to move people to the after party could be to cut the cake. If you're not serving it as dessert, or that's it could be inviting first dance. I love to do things around the cutting of the cake to make something of it and make a moment of it. So it needs carefully choreographing.
Speeches, when do they happen? How long should they be?
People are much more receptive when they have a full stomach and have had a couple of drinks. They're more receptive to what's being said.
Yes.
However, we hear from clients that they don't want the new husband or the father have to wait till the end of the meal to do a speech. I don't like the idea of breaking up a meal too much with it, because people sit and they start talking and then you interrupt them with a speech and then they start talking again. Then they're interrupted with another speech at the next course.
Yeah.
So try and keep them concentrated and make a 5-minute rule, no more than 5 minutes.
Whoa. Wow. Okay, well, mine was 15, so...
Was it good, though?
Fantastic.
Really good. Well, you see, if they're a good public speaker, but there's nothing worse.
And the blubbing best man,
I know, like, because he hasn't thought this through. So... Like,
this is the thing, it's like, it's some people just... You obviously love to public speak, and everyone in our wedding was really good at the speech. The speeches were amazing, but... Not everyone likes to do that, but it's something you have to do. So having a 5-minute rule to be like, it is okay just to do
that. And if it's going to be more than that, plan it so that you're not holding up a course of your menu or waiting to go and sit down and everybody's like, I'm really hungry. And also the kitchen get terribly upset if they're delayed because they've got the food ready for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever had anyone object? When it's been...
I've always wanted someone to object and nobody ever... And sometimes I felt like standing up and saying, he's an absolute... You should
really...
I did read in the papers once that somebody... it was a wedding in England that a little boy stood up and said, it was the bride's sister and then he stood up and said, she can't cook.
Oh, really? That's sweet. Okay, so we have some questions for you that we're going to fire at you. And here we go. You ready? So... upcoming trends for weddings.
I like to think we're trendsetters. Actually, last week I was interviewed for the New York Times about a trend which I have seen, which is people sending out, we're a little guilty of it, people sending out not just a dress code, but like a whole mood board so that you can understand what to wear.
Yeah.
I know it's ridiculous. I like to think we do it so that if you're on a destination wedding, you know what to pack. You know the first night's in a winery, so it's going to be wine themed. And then the wedding is going to be, I don't know, black and white, whatever it's going to be. And then you're going to have, you know, a Tuscan fair, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I like to think that that's why we're doing it, to just give a mood so that you know what to pack. But when I was questioned last week, I realised it's an instruction from some people.
It is. It is. That's what they're thinking.
Expensive enough.
That's what they're saying.
My mum once went to a wedding and their dress code was Amanda Wakely dresses for all women. She was like, bothered. That's really...
That's very specific.
Yeah.
And expensive.
And expensive. She was like, great. God,
that is hilarious. Okay. What about this one? Apparently you've planned weddings that are surprises to their guests.
I had a TV show a few years back called Wedding Fixer. And one of the couples there invited their guests to what they thought was a 40th birthday party. And then when they all showed up, they got married. But... they got married at a crematorium.
What?
You can still get it. It's on iPlayer.
That is not romantic at all.
Well,
maybe it is.
They had a nice little garden where luckily the weather was good, but I was worried about what happened if it rained. So I tipped up, saying, could you show me the plan B? And they took me into the room.
No, you're joking.
Yes. And I was like, what's behind that curtain? And it's where they put the... and everything. So I was bricking it. I was like, plan B is not a plan at all. Plan B is not a good plan.
Okay, here we go. Here's a question. You've married 20 years. Is that right?
Oh, and some, yeah.
And some. What was it like planning your own wedding?
It was so long ago, I can barely remember it. Actually, I did what you did. We had a London, quiet London wedding.
Yeah.
And then... we had 200 people the following week. We did a church blessing and 200 people came to our house for sausage and mash. Well, it was a wedding reception. But yeah, because yeah, that's my favourite food, talking of sausage. It's my favourite food, sausage and mash.
Oh, delicious.
So I didn't have the kind of wedding that my clients would want.
Delicious.
And actually, if I had to do it again, I'd do it completely differently, of course.
Okay, final question. When you're there and you're planning the wedding, you're watching it go on and you see the couple, whoever they are, come together, can you tell whether it's going to work or not work?
Got a pretty good idea.
Really?
Because we really get to know people, as you can imagine. We really get to know people. And you so see you... the dynamic. Yeah.
God, I bet you see it all.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm surprised, you know, years later they are still married. And sometimes I'm surprised when marriages haven't worked and you wonder what, you know, what happened there. It's actually quite, as far as I'm aware, I think our couples have got quite a good success rate.
I never thought, I said this, so I didn't know if I was going to get married. You know, I just, because I thought my parents are divorced and things like that. For me personally, being married is the greatest thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think it's the greatest thing because, unfortunately, honey, you can't go anywhere. Yeah, you're kind of stuck with me. And for some reason that, I don't know, you to and fro and you, we argue and we had an argument yesterday and that's okay. But, you know.
Does it feel different now that you're married?
Yeah, I think it feels really different in loads of ways. And I can't explain why. It just
very
does.
Hard to articulate, but you know you're in it together, whatever.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what it was before. When you're not married, there's in the sort of nicest way, there's a way out.
Yes.
You've
got to decide you don't want a way out.
Yeah.
Also, don't get married just to have the party because you've dreamt of getting married. But because it's very complicated to get out of it once you're in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Only do it if you really want to.
Yeah, I agree.
Love you, honey.
Love you.
Thank you.
Thank
so,
you so much.
We know how
Sarah.
Busy you are and we know how in demand you are. So to come and give us your time is amazing. And I just want everyone to go and check out your social media, your website.
Sarah Hayward Weddings on Instagram.
And
that's how you find us.
Everything in the show description as well, so you can go and find you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
It's been
so
really fun.
Much. That was fantastic in every way.
Wow. Firstly, so interesting.
You
can tell she obviously is the best of the best.
You can tell she's a wedding planner. Yeah, you can tell she's
but
that.
But also, like, the stories she must have, and the scenes she must have seen. Woof!
And also, I feel like if you're spending that much money, there must be a sense of, like, well, I can say and do whatever I want.
Totally. Like, the people must be truff to work
They must be truff. They must be real truff to
they
work
must
with.
Be truff, truff to work.
Truff to work with. What an amazing episode. Thank you so much for all of your messages. Thank you to Sarah Hayward. If you want to send anything in to our podcast, maybe it's love stories, maybe it's just notes, maybe you just want to slag us off, I don't know, you can send it to at Newlyweds Podcast, which is our Instagram. Send it into our DMs or send us an email, newlyweds@jampopproductions.co.uk. Everything's in the show description. And also remember, haven't said it for a while, if you want to propose the podcast, that's where you go and tell other people about the show. Then you write in how you did it. We would love to hear from you. So go and propose the pod. All right, honey, it is the end of the episode.
And you're getting married.
Damn straight, motherfuckers, go for it.
If you're single.
Oh, what a life you have ahead of you.
Fuck.
Joking.
If you are getting divorced.
Wow. Do you know what? That's maybe a good thing. Maybe a good thing.
And if you are about to propose.
Wow, just get on that knee and go and do it and love life.
We love you. Goodbye.
See you next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.